Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Evangelical Chinese Church of South King County. Today is February 19th, 2017, and to begin this morning's worship service, I'd like to read from the beginning of Psalm 42. I'll be reading the first five verses and the first three words of verse 6. So Psalm 42. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Let's bow and pray together. Heavenly Father, we sing and shout and praise of you this morning because, Lord, even when our soul is downcast, Lord, you are faithful to remember us, and Lord, in our times of trouble as well as in our times of joy, Lord, you, even when we don't know it, Lord, you were looking after us, and you were faithful not to forget us, but rather to make sure that our needs are met, and Lord, that your plan is executed according to your wisdom, and Lord, we thank you just for the.
Good morning. It's great to worship together. You know, I love the game of tennis. Does anyone play tennis or enjoy tennis? No? Well, I played tennis with a bunch of mostly retired men twice a week, every Tuesday and Thursday morning, 7 a.m. at the Amy Yee Tennis Center. Some of you may know that place. So we play pretty much year-round because it's an indoor facility. I consider myself an average tennis player, 3.0 if you play tennis. So as an average player, I always look for ways to improve my game. You know, there's a shot in tennis called inside-out forehand. I don't know if you're familiar with that. If you don't play tennis, bear with me. Tennis, as you know, there's a forehand, right? And there's a backhand. And most players are stronger in the forehand than the backhand. But what is an inside-out forehand? An inside-out forehand is where a player would take normally a backhand, he runs around it and play a forehand. Am I confusing you? Penny, you look. See, most of the time you would use a stronger forehand and you hit to the backhand of your opponent with the hope of winning the point. And of course, the ultimate goal is to win the game, the inside-out forehand. Well, you know, there is a biblical principle that I would call a spiritual inside-out principle. Understanding this principle can help us improve our Christian walk and ultimately achieve victory in this game of life. This is also part of Christian discipleship. See, true discipleship must come from the inside out, from the heart to the hand. So the title of this message is Inside Out, From the Heart to the Hand. Our text is Mark chapter 7. If you open your Bible, Mark chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone. Understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." And after he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, and it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, folly, all these evils come from inside and defiled a person." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to surrender our lives to you. We also want to surrender our heart to your word this morning. Would you accept this surrender and teach us your very word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday, for the first 13 verses of Mark, we have already learned that ceremonial purity is not necessarily same as spiritual purity. You remember the Pharisees emphasized very much on the ceremonial purity. See, the Pharisees followed the traditions of their elders. They insisted, in fact, one must wash your hand before you eat. They even accused Jesus Christ and his disciples for not following the traditions of the elders, not washing their hands. Remember that. On the other hand, no pun intended, that Jesus Christ taught the principle of spiritual purity. Of course, washing hands before you eat is good. Good hygienic practice, especially in this today, in the flu season we are facing. It's good to wash our hands. But it does not affect one's spiritual life. In the Sermon on the Mount, our Lord Jesus Christ already taught that true holiness is a matter of the heart. It is a matter of inner attitude rather than an outward action. So today we want to continue this theme of external purity versus internal purity. In today's text, Jesus Christ explained why he condemned the Pharisees, condemned their external practice. See, true purity is from the inside out, from the heart to the hand. So my outline this morning, first, Jewish dietary law, the old tradition. Number two, Jesus' spiritual law, the new truth. Third, the new obedience, the inside out principle. First of all, the Jewish dietary law. Again, let me explain briefly the Jewish dietary law to establish a proper context that Jesus Christ had this unusual encounter with the Pharisees. Now, when the children of Israel left Egypt on the way to the promised land, God gave them many laws, right? The most famous one, the Ten Commandments. God also gave them other moral laws so they would know how to live as a chosen people of God. God also gave them civic laws so they can govern themselves as a new form nation. God also gave them many ceremonial laws to teach them how to worship Him. And there were also dietary laws that God gave them. In the book of Leviticus, you will read many details of these laws. Certain food were considered clean, so you can eat. Certain food were considered unclean and not edible, or should not be eaten. Do you remember blood was specifically forbidden? God also gave them certain hygienic practices. In fact, were commanded for them to obey. See, all these laws that God gave them were not just arbitrary laws. God gave them, had spiritual reasons. And some physical reasons, hygienic reasons, for the physical and the spiritual welfare of the children of Israel as they travel through the harsh environment of the wilderness or the desert. The Pharisees themselves also had certain dietary rules based on their tradition. You see, over the years, their religious leaders and the Pharisees came up with various interpretations of these laws of God. And these interpretations eventually result in their traditions. In fact, they compiled these traditions into a book called the Mishnah. Over time, unfortunately, traditions became so important that the religious leaders honor the tradition more so than the law or the word of God. As we read in the Gospels, we see this was one of the recurring conflicts that Jesus Christ had with the Pharisees. For example, the Pharisees accused Jesus Christ of performing miracles, picking grains on Sabbath. And last week we learned that Jesus Christ were accused that they didn't wash their hands before they eat and so forth. Yet from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus Christ already taught them the importance of internal obedience from the heart rather than the external obedience of the hand. In fact, Jesus Christ said, "You have heard," or even the law says, "You shall not murder," right? But Jesus Christ said, "But I say, you shall not hate." The law says, "You shall not commit adultery." But I say, Jesus Christ said, "You shall not lust." You see, Jesus Christ was pointing out the importance of the heart. Of course, Jesus Christ was not disregarding the law. In fact, he himself says, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets, but I, in fact, come to fulfill the law." See, Jesus Christ came to replace the old traditions with a new spiritual law. And this is my second point. Jesus Christ now offers us the new spiritual law. I call it the new truth. In today's passage, we learn Jesus Christ explained why he condemned the external practice of the Pharisees. In the process, Jesus Christ taught the people a new truth. First, publicly to the crowd, and then privately to the disciples. Beginning with verse 14. Again, Jesus called to the crowd and said to him, and said, "Listen to me. Please understand what I'm saying. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles that person." First of all, Jesus Christ was pleading to the people, "Understand what I'm saying." So it is also important for us today, as we read this passage, understand what Jesus Christ is teaching here. Jesus Christ was saying that no food, whether clean or unclean, according to the Old Testament teaching, or anything that goes into the mouth can defile a person or make a person impure. Instead, Jesus Christ says, what comes out of a person makes that or defiles that person. You know what Jesus Christ is saying? Maybe it seems obvious today, isn't it? Nothing we eat can make us impure, morally speaking. Everything we eat ends up in the stomach. Is that correct? The food, anything you eat, ends up in the stomach, gets broken down. It goes in the small intestines, gets absorbed. Right? And the waste product goes into the colon and rectum and so on. See, there is no, whatever we eat does not affect us as a moral person. If I remember my anatomy correctly, David, please correct me. There is no connection, no physical connection between the cardiovascular system and the digestive system. In fact, if there is a hole in the digestive system, that would be in big trouble, isn't it? Big infection would set in. So whatever goes through our mouth does not affect our heart. Food itself cannot make me pure or impure, spiritually speaking. This is a spiritual principle of purity. It is from the inside out, from the heart to the hand. After this, Jesus Christ pulled the disciples aside and gave them a private teaching session, you might say. Beginning with verse 17, after he had left the crowd and into the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. Are you so dull, he asked. Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? And it doesn't go into the, for it does not go into the heart, but into their stomach, and then went out of the body. In saying this, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. He went on, whatever comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is within the person. For it is within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Again, Jesus Christ emphasized that it's not what goes into the mouth that makes a person clean or impure or unclean. It is what comes out of the heart matters. Apparently, the disciples had difficulty of understanding this principle. Jesus Christ even tell them, are you so dull? Are you so dense that you do not understand this? But please remember that disciples and all Jewish people grew up in an environment of a very strict dietary code and tradition. Ever since childhood, they were taught not to eat certain things or wash your hands before they eat. So it was very difficult for them to understand or even accept this new principle. In fact, we're studying the book of Acts. You may remember, even Apostle Peter had trouble understanding this. And Apostle Paul had to reprimand him for his misunderstanding of what's unclean and what is not clean. Jesus taught that it's from the heart that comes evil thoughts and actions. In the Hebrew mind, or even in our contemporary thinking, the heart is not this heart that is in here, of course. The heart is the inner core of the person, his being, his inner thinking, intention, his attitude. It is heart that determines our outward action, isn't it? So Christ again says it is what enters the heart that makes a person clean or unclean. It is not what enters our stomach. It is from the heart, Jesus Christ said, from all these evil thoughts. In this passage, Jesus Christ listed 12 sins, right? Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. 12 sins. Now, I do not believe that every number in the Bible has significance, but certain numbers do, right? We know that 7, right? 7 is a perfect number. Well, 12 is also one of these numbers that has the meaning of completeness. Thus, we have the 12 tribes of Israel representing God's chosen people, Jewish people. In the New Testament, we have the 12, what? Apostles representing the church. So here, Jesus Christ listed 12 sins. As we know that all sins do come from the heart, isn't it? As you look at this list of sins, some are external sins. I call the sins of the hand. The sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery. But Christ said there are also sins of the heart, isn't it? The rest of them, greed, envy, slander, folly, and so on. As we all know, sins can be both external and internal, but all sins come from the heart. In fact, Proverbs, Solomon reminds us, above all else, guard your hearts, for everything else you do flows from it. Again, it is the spiritual principle of inside out. Now, I mentioned earlier the 12 sins. Of course, this list of 12 sins do not represent all the sins of the world, right? But it does represent all the sins. I mean, it's not all the sins that are in the world, but it represents all the potential sins that humanity are capable of. It is a representation of all sins. Of course, in school we learned about this is not an exhaustive list, right, Jim? It does not include all of the sins. But it is a representation of what our heart is capable of. See, even in the casual reading of this list of 12 sins, we would admit or agree that they are very serious sins. Would you agree? Of course, there are other so-called sin lists that Apostle Paul gave to the church. But these sins certainly are serious. It's so serious, I don't believe any ceremonial water, washing your hands, can make a person pure, can cleanse a person of these 12 sins or any sins. All sins, including this 12 here, must be dealt with aggressively and intentionally with the help of the Holy Spirit, of course. And that leads to my third point, the new obedience inside out principle. And this will be also my application point. Christian life, of course, is a life of transformation from the inside out, right? It's a change of the heart, rather than just a pure observance of external rules and doctrine even biblical doctrine. That is nothing but legalism. Discipleship is about inner purity and not just external purity. Do we have similar conflicts today in our churches? the biblical truth versus man-made traditions? I suspect so, right? Perhaps even at this church. Modern churches today are also in danger of serving church traditions rather than obedience to God's truth. Please know that Jesus Christ did not reject all traditions. Right? Some traditions are good. There's nothing wrong with tradition in itself. But traditions become bad only when they are in conflict with the truth of Scripture. Sometimes we come to church, we do certain things because that's how we have always done it. Many times we follow the external practice to the letter and neglect what Jesus Christ said, the weightier matter of the heart. We also need to understand and even heed the warning of Jesus Christ. As we know, every church, every believer must apply the Word of God in real life, isn't it? The question is, how should we, as disciples, obey the truth of God that has already revealed to us and God already expressed to us in the Bible? How should we, as disciples, exercise this new obedience that Jesus Christ taught or teaches in the Bible? Let me suggest that we practice this new obedience from the inside out. Remember the Pharisees' obedience? They were just legalistic obedience. They just followed the external rules and laws. It is the obedience of their hand and not their heart. But our Lord Jesus Christ teaches of the new obedience. Obedience comes out of the heart. Now, I'm not saying the obedience of the hand is not good, but it's not good enough. We must first learn to obey from the heart. In fact, not just any heart, but the heart that loves God. In fact, love must be the primary motivation for our obedience to God. This is the new obedience. The obedience of love, or obedience out of love. Earlier, I mentioned that as Israelites, wandering in the wilderness, and God gave them the laws, right? The moral laws, the civic laws, and the ceremonial laws, and dietary laws, and so on. Of course, God wanted them to obey these laws. But God wanted more than just that. God wanted their heart. Remember that because of disobedience, the children of Israel, they were wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And that older generation, the generation older than age 20, all died off. And now 40 years later, a new generation of Israelites, right? And they were ready to enter into the promised land. And what did Moses do? Moses reiterated, right? Repeated all the laws that God had given to them. And that's the whole basis of the book of Deuteronomy. And this is what Moses said. These are the commands, decrees, and laws that the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe. Right? After all that teaching that Moses did, and Moses said, here we are, all these laws. But Moses went on to say a couple of verses later, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your might." What Moses is saying is that, yes, it's important that we obey all the laws and decrees of God. But it's more important that you learn to love God first. And this is a new obedience. We obey because we love God, or we want to love God. Until we learn to love our Lord with our heart, our soul, and strength, we will not be able to obey as God desires. The new obedience is the obedience of the heart, and the heart that love God. Well, how do I summarize this passage, this message? Inside out, from the heart to the hand. Let me, brothers and sisters, suggest you three ways that we can apply this passage this morning. First of all, resolve to guard your heart. I quoted earlier in Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is a wellspring of life, or this different translation, but everything comes out of the heart, isn't it? So it's important to guard our hearts. You might say, Pastor Michael, why do I need to guard my heart? I know my heart. In fact, I have a good heart, I believe, right? But the scripture says, guard your heart. Prophet Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? This is a true evaluation of human heart. We may think that we have a good heart. The humanist today teaches that we are basically good. The prophet Jeremiah says, oh, the heart is so wicked, desperately corrupt. Who can even understand it? Not even ourselves. So important to guard our heart, because everything flows out of our hearts, isn't it? So what does it mean to guard our hearts? Well, a guard, a sentry, a guard, is the one responsible for allowing something to go through or not allowing someone to go through, right? So guard our heart is that we have to be intentional to allow or not allow what goes into my heart and what comes out of my heart, isn't it? That's what guarding our heart is. Be careful what goes in, and be careful what comes out of the heart. Secondly, yield your heart to God. You see, it's not enough to guard our heart, but we must first surrender our heart. Earlier in worship, we sang, I surrender all. Well, this all, including our heart, isn't it? We are to yield our heart, surrender our heart to God. Joshua 24:23, now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord God of Israel. How do I yield my heart to God? How do I surrender? Joshua said, throw away your foreign gods. Throw away your idols. There are still many idols in our society today, isn't it? Idols, materialism, greed, money, fame, fortune, sex. In Seattle, the Seahawks. I remind myself, be careful, Michael, not make tennis your idol. I love tennis. So I can tell you, at home when I don't play tennis, I go to YouTube and watch tennis instructions. Every chance I get, I go out to court and practice. Brother and sister, I don't know what your idol is or are. Get rid of them and yield your heart to God. Thirdly, first resolve to guard your heart, yield your heart to God, observe the word of God. How can a young man stay pure on the path of purity? The psalmist says, by living according to your word. Isn't it? That's why it's so important for us to study, to read the word of God. That's also important for the church to teach and preach the word of God diligently. We must obey the word of God with a new obedience, the obedience that comes out of one's heart. Someone said the only part of the Bible that we truly believe is the part that we obey. It makes sense, doesn't it? The part of the Bible we truly believe is the part that we obey. In fact, someone else has said this. Either the Bible, the Word of God, prevent you or keep you away from sin, or sin will keep you away from the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, if we have a desire to remain pure before God by living according to the Word of God, isn't it? In closing, dear brothers and sisters, let me just say, conclude with the words of Jesus Christ that we read last week already. Mark 7, 6 and 7. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, for their teaching are but rules taught by men. Which kind of people are we, brothers and sisters? Are we the kind of people that Jesus Christ described here? Just honor God with our lips, but our hearts far from Him? Or the kind of people that we love God? We obey God out of love. We obey God with all our hearts. We love God with our hearts, mind, and soul. I'd like for us to bow and think for a few minutes. What kind of people are we this morning? Father God, we once again pray and plead with you that you would transform us from the inside out. We don't want to be hypocrites, showing off our external purity. Lord, we desire that you will cleanse us from the inside. The hearts and motives, attitudes will be pure before you and before all men. Teach us that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We bend our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. O Lord, we cast down our idols. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Oh God, let us be a generation that seeks your face. Oh God, seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God of Jacob. We bend our hearts, we bend our knees, O Spirit. Humble, we turn our eyes. cast down our idols. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. O God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And O God of Jacob.
God, we desire to know you. We desire to be near to you, to know your heart and to be like you, God. God, I pray that in this moment, may you reveal to us the things that prevent us from surrendering our heart completely to you, God. Please reveal to us those idols in our life that we may not even realize. God, please show us even the little things that may not completely distract us from you, but God, anything that leads our heart and tugs on our heart in any way that is not towards you, God, reveal that to us. Don't only reveal it to us, but God, convict us of it. God, may we have clean hearts. And in having clean hearts, God, may we be able to obey your word and be your hands and feet to the people around us, God. Let it not be because of our situation, of the things that happen to us that define us as being clean or unclean, being good or bad. But God, may we realize that it's truly from our heart. So God, quiet our hearts and show us the truth of our hearts, because in the Bible you say our heart can be so deceiving. So God, show us the truth of what we desire and where our hearts are leading us. God, in cleansing us, God, may we look to you and may our hearts be moved by you. What you have done for us, God. And so, God, we admit that we are not the ones that can clean our own hearts, but it is you and what you have done on the cross for us. And so we thank you, we praise you for what you have done, for the grace you have given us. Pray all these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, everyone. It's great to see all of you, and hopefully you're having a great week and a good start to the long weekend. After service today, we have a time of fellowship in the fellowship hall, so we encourage you to spend some time with each other over there. The classes that we have today include the youth that will remain in the fellowship hall at 11:15. We have a baptismal class for the 10 or so of you that are looking to seek baptism. It's exciting that we'll have the actual baptism on April the 9th. It is a joint baptismal service, so please mark your calendars for that. That class happens in the room behind the sanctuary. We have the adult English class in the other room behind the sanctuary as well, and we have EE in the church office starting at 11:15 as well. For those of you that are interested in learning for about serving opportunities. There is a need for teachers and assistants for the elementary kids. And so if you're interested in learning more about that, please talk to Elder David Tsang. And with that, we'll ask Pastor Jim to lead us in a benediction.
Okay, let us pray once again. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing to us, Lord, the state of our hearts. Lord, indeed, our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are impure. But God, you cleanse us. You cleanse our hearts through your Holy Spirit, through the reading and teaching and the preaching and application of your word. Father, I pray that we would continue to examine our hearts, to know our hearts, and to just yield our hearts to you, to surrender and do everything we can to just to give ourselves to you. So thank you, God, and change us, Lord, from the inside out. We cannot be changed through ritual and tradition and trying to do things for you on our own, Lord. Our hearts need to be changed truly by you first. So thank you, God. Now may the love of God the Father and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us and change our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.